You might say Customs and Border Protection had a busy summer. The agency had to deal with a surge of unaccompanied minors, tens of thousands of them, flooded across the Mexican border. CBP handled all of this with limited funding. It also faced claims that the agents used excessive force at detention centers and against people trying to cross into the United States illegally. Commissioner Gil Kerlikowske joins me now to discuss what comes next. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So you joined just in March, came over to CBP. Did you ever imagine what the summer would hold for you?
Well, I was down in McAllen, Texas, about a week after I had been confirmed by the Senate. So I got to see firsthand exactly what was going on down there. And then, of course, later, Secretary Johnson went by and really ratcheted up the attention to this influx of minors, particularly over those summer months.
And are you? What's your assessment of how the agents there on the ground throughout the whole summer handled the whole thing?
Well, I made five trips to McAllen, plus I did a number of other locations. But in particular, watching those agents when I first got there, which they were bringing clothes from their own kids, they were taking care of these kids, they were microwaving food. We didn't have the health care resources, we didn't have the transportation, we didn't have the food services, and we ratcheted that up very quickly. But I was really impressed with the agents, and of course the Inspector General's report clearly affirmed that they were doing a very good job and quite frankly a real humanitarian effort on their part.
And what did it look like from Washington when you were back here? What were people saying to you? What was the administration's view of all of this as it was unfolding?
Well, I think thanks to the secretary, it got a lot more attention with a number of agencies. I think you know that within 72 hours of our encounter with the youth, they're supposed to be turned over to Health and Human Services, and so we had to work closely with them. You know, the Border Patrol has almost 18,000 agents on the southwest border. Health and Human Services, though, does a lot of their work through contracts and through grants. And so helping them turn those on and then get the properly vetted grantees and contractors in place was an important second step.
Now, there were a lot of those minors were held temporarily at Army facilities or military facilities. Was that negotiated with CBP or was that a Health and Human Services deal?
That's actually with ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and Health and Human Services. But I think we were all very impressed with the way that the Department of Defense stood up so quickly, whether it was Lackland Air Force Base in a temporary facility and others. So, it was a true interagency effort to deal with this.
I was going to say we just mentioned about six agencies. If you take ICE and CBP and Homeland Security Headquarters, HHS and the Army and the Air Force and Pentagon, it is quite an interagency effort. Were there meetings? I mean, did this all come about spontaneously or was there some kind of a war room set up?
The coordination effort was led by FEMA. And of course, they have
number eight.
They have real expertise in the area of coordination, particularly with a disaster. So, for instance, there's an organization, the Texas Baptist Men's Organization, that provides portable showers and portable laundry facilities, contracting for food services, contracting for transportation. And let me add one more. Of course, the Coast Guard medical corpsman did a great job of helping us when it came to health care assessments for these folks.
All right, so let's look ahead. Now, there's some things happening on the legislative front. There was a pay reform bill in the Senate. I think it's yet to be passed by the House that would affect Customs and Border Patrol agents, something I think they've sought, this whole administrative overtime deal. What's your take on that? And if this becomes law, would it be something that would be helpful to operating the agency? Or it
sure.
Is law?
Sure, it would be helpful. It's been passed by the Senate. It's sitting in the House right now. We know from the Office of Special Counsel that the pay issues that had existed actually for many decades, administratively uncontrollable overtime, were in fact was no longer viable. Many of our agents were not eligible for that. So fixing this broken pay system for them going into the future is particularly important. And we'll do everything that we can to work with the House in getting this through.
So there would be like three basic pay bands or three work week schedules for agents, and you feel that would cover most of what it is they need to do?
Well, it does certainly provide additional resources because of the expanded hours. And as you know and others, when those agents are working out in the field on the border, you know, being able to control their time, it's just not an eight-hour job. You may have apprehensions, encounters, other things that are going to extend you over that normal workday, and we have to make sure that they're compensated for that.
And another initiative I wanted to ask you about is the test of body cameras. This seems to be something that is taking over in law enforcement generally, especially at the state and local level at this point. How would that test be designed, and what kinds of information do you think it would give you that could help manage?
Well, the test started with these lapel or body-worn cameras October 1st, and they're being tried out at our Border Patrol Training Academy in Artesia, New Mexico. Also, our Air and Marine, and then our Office of Field Operations. Those are the individuals in the blue uniforms, and that's being tested at their academy also. You know, at our ports of entry, we have a lot of video resources, a lot of cameras, but out in the field, it's different. And of course, a lot of local law enforcement is looking at cameras right now, body-worn cameras. But the environment that our agents work in, out in the desert, the heat and the brush, et cetera, we're going to have to look carefully at the right type of equipment. And then, of course, it's also an issue that we have to negotiate with the Border Patrol Council.
And also, I think, do you think it would help, specifically with the rock-throwing debate, which we've actually talked about before? To some people, they say, look how mean they are to those poor kids tossing a couple rocks. If you're the recipient of a thrown rock, you know it can actually be a fatal projectile. Do you think video of this kind of thing might help convince people that rock-throwing is not something trivial?
Well, I think that the changes that have been made in the use of force, since the last time we spoke, in fact, a new protocol. There is additional training being looked at. And at the Artesia, New Mexico facility, they've installed the type of international fencing, three different types, in fact, that already exist on the border. So new agents can actually get the kind of training necessary. Another thing, of course, has been the expansion of less than lethal technology that has been given to some of the Border Patrol agents, or a good many of them. And so it gives them another tool in the tool belt.
We're speaking with Commissioner Gil Kerlikowske of Customs and Border Protection. And you also had two other agencies, while we're counting the agencies involved with CBP. You had, of course, the Inspector General looking at the work done in some of the detention centers. And you also had the FBI looking at cases of corruption among CBP officers. So two oversights, two different vectors. What's the effect of all that oversight and investigation on morale and the CBP's ability to carry on day by day?
Well, I think in law enforcement generally, and it's certainly true for CBP, there's a tremendous amount of scrutiny, a tremendous amount of oversight, and frankly, there has to be. When you think about the authority that law enforcement personnel have to not only take away somebody's freedom, but also to use different levels of force, that type of oversight is very important. The Inspector General conducted a number of examinations, including unannounced visits to some of these Border Patrol locations, to see exactly how the Border Patrol agents were treating these young people. and we got a very positive report as a result of that. The border corruption issues, and there are a number of those task forces, and of course now CBP was recently given the authority by Secretary Johnson to conduct investigations for criminal misconduct. And we think that's a very important step forward for the agency.
And I guess speaking with the people that represent the Border Patrol agents, they're generally like the idea, at least they tell us, because they don't want to work with people that could get them in trouble or compromise their mission in some way.
You know, when you listen to law enforcement officers and those members of CBP, none of them want to be around, want to have anybody working with them or beside them that's going to tarnish their reputation or, in fact, put them in harm's way.
And we were talking earlier this morning about the fact that the Army Expo is happening here in Washington, and there just happens to be a panel today in which one of the CBP officers will be talking about the Army's potential role in border work. What is the thinking on that these days?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of technology that has come back as the drawdown occurs in Afghanistan in particular. So it hasn't been just, for instance, night vision devices or thermal devices, but also remote video surveillance. Oftentimes, I think people have the impression that the border, the southwest border, looks pretty much the same. I always tell them, if you've seen one part of the southwest border, you've seen one part of the border. So whether it's the hills and the river and the Rio Grande Valley or the desert areas in Tucson, we need a wide array of technology. And of course, another added benefit is from, again, DoD technology, have been these tethered aerostats, these helium-filled stationary video platforms that have been particularly helpful.
So it's more of a technology transfer type of idea than having soldiers help out CBP.
Very much so. If you go back to Secretary Gates and when he was Secretary of Defense and others, militarizing the border or the use of the military on the border was not something that was being considered and frankly isn't something that's necessary. We have more technology, more boots on the ground when it comes to the both our Customs and Border Protection officers and our Border Patrol agents than we have ever had before. And we also have a good or excellent working relationship with state and local authorities that are also along the border.
All right. Gil Kierlikowski is Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. Thanks so much for joining us with that update.
Thank you very much for having me.